pooping slept on the wrong side of the bed, and two goes and sits on the wrong side of the lady. Good that you can sit in comfort. Good morning, honorable members, Department of Mineral Resources, the AG's office, and guests present. This morning we've got a program that's supposed to run from 9:30 until 6 o'clock. Yes, Honorable Schmidt, good morning. Until 6 o'clock you heard me correctly. Terrible news. But let's see how we do for the day. And unfortunately, we just had to exhaust all areas. We're first going to have a presentation from the Auditor General, a briefing from them, on the outcomes of the financial report of the Department of Mineral Resources. And then we're also going to have Mineral Resources giving us detail on their annual report. We're first going to start with the AG, so that we are able to then deliberate sufficiently and efficiently with the department on some of the issues. And I think it would be wise for the department also to take note of our discussion, so that when we've got questions or issues or matters of deliberation, we are able then to talk to each other based on what we're getting from the AG. And while they ask us here, it will be a better opportunity that we do it that way, to try and coincide with the work that you'll be giving us in terms of the annual report. We will follow the usual to say you present to us, and then we engage after. The same with the department, presentation first, and we engage after. Honourable members, I think there's some changes that are also going to come up because we must start doing our work in relation to our public hearings. In terms of the program, last week I think we did discuss that. There are some changes we ask in the process of making, but that is the direction now in terms of how we're going to work together. I just hope all of you will be available on the dates that we are going to give you, where we'll need to sit a lot more in terms of a workshop type of a setup, and possibly a matter of 2 to 3 days or so. So depending on the permission that would be then granted on the date, because Parliament will be starting next week, we can then see how we move forward. Any issues before I request introduction? Honourable Arima?
For a preview of those 3 days, 2-3 days, are we still down for Tuesday, Wednesday, so on next week?
But we'd worked out something like Thursday to Saturday, because we're avoiding not to be present in the house. And the fact that we're still in, so that we must go out. We'll make copies now. Okay, let's see as we go along, then we can attend to the program. You'll get a draft of the program, and then we can make our decision based on what we're looking at. Anything else on what I raised? Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Faith Bikani. I'm acting chairperson for the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources. Can I request that members introduce themselves? Honorable Schmidt.
Madam Chair, Andrew Schmidt, member of the committee. Lorimer, member of the committee.
Member of the committee.
Can we have everyone else introduce themselves?
Hi, my name is Kibesh Lachman. I'm from the Office of the Auditor General.
Good morning. My name is Margaret Soka. I'm a senior manager responsible for Department of Mineral Resources from Auditor General.
Morning, everyone. My name is Stephen Maluleke, Audit Manager from the Office of the Auditor General.
Mike, please.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Maluleke from the Auditor General.
I'm not a network, please respect.
Joseph Katanga from the DMR.
Good morning. My name is Tibidi Ramunja, the Director General of the Department of Mineral Resources.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Aaron Singo, the CFO of Mineral Resources.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Joel Rapel. I'm the DDG for Mineral Regulation in the department.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Pat Kamede, DDG Corporate Services, DMR.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is David Nsiza, the Chief Inspector of Mines from the Department of Mineral Resources.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Musa Mabuza, DDG Mineral Policy and Promotion, DMR.
Good morning. My name is Anna Boss. I'm the Deputy Secretary.
Thank you. Without any further waste of time, can I request that the AGDN staff? I hope you only bring good news. I don't think anyone... Why did they close the blinds? It was so nice and bright when we came in. The weather looked lovely outside. Oh, by the way, we have a problem with the screens. Okay, no, it's fine. Let's on camera then. It's okay. Can you see that?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, members of Parliament, committee members, DG and the DDGs from the department, all present, all protocols observed. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you today to do our presentation on the audit outcomes for the Department of Mineral Resources. Chair, as we've introduced ourselves, my senior manager is going to take us through the slides to do the presentation for us today, and we look forward to the forward engagement after the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have distributed two documents. The one is a PC briefing note, which has more details, and then the second one is the slides, which says the audit outcomes briefing to the Chairperson of the Department of Mineral Resources. So I'll go through the slides. On the second page is our reputation promise of mission. The Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate, and as the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa, it exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. On the next page, we have an agenda. We'll start with the portfolio audit outcomes and key control status, and then move to progress on previous commitments. The next one, key focus areas, other matters of interest, pyramids of accountability, and combined level of assurance. On the next page, paragraph one, we have portfolio audit outcomes and key control status. On the table, we're comparing the outcomes for 2011 and 2012. And 2012-2013. I'll mainly focus on the 2012-2013. We'll start with the Department of Mineral Resources. For financial statements, we have a qualified opinion. And then for predetermined objectives, we have a qualified opinion. And then they were finding on compliance with laws and regulations, and also related to financial and performance management, human resources management, revenue management, and non-compliance with the Enabling Act. Just hang on. Are you following? Everybody following? Because I thought there would be something in the presentation. Mm-hmm. I've got the right documents with you. Are the numbers page? They're not at page, next. You'll just have to page them for convenience.
And I'll refer to the number.
And let's do the... Yeah. Let's do the cover page as page one, or slide one, whatever you want to name it. And then you number them. Okay. So you are now on slide.
Give me a moment.
Okay. You're just numbering your page.
think on, I was still on slide number 4, paragraph 1. I've covered mineral resources. The next three entities, which is South African Diamond and Precious Metal Regulator, the State Diamond Trader, and the Council for Mineral Technology. For those entities, we can notice that for financial statements, they all obtained unqualified audit opinion with no findings. And then for predetermined objectives, it's also unqualified. And then there were no findings also on compliance with laws and regulations. When we move to the next slide, which is slide number 5, Mineral Health Safety Council, financial statements for 2018, it was unqualified opinion with findings on compliance and predetermined objectives. And then for predetermined objectives, we'll notice that there was an adverse opinion on that one. And I'll have to stress that because most of the entities are not yet there with regard to performance information, the opinion is not a formal opinion that is included in the audit report, but just to give them an indication on how, where are they in terms of reporting on predetermined objectives. So for mine health, there's still a lot of work to be done with regard to predetermined objectives. Then there were also issues regarding compliance with laws and regulations relating to irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, procure management, and internal audit. The next one, answer for Geofund. For financial statements, it was unqualified opinion with findings on compliance and predetermined objectives. Predetermined objectives, it was unqualified, but they had a few issues on compliance, which related to procurement and contract management, material adjustments to annual financial statements, and asset management. On the material adjustments, it basically means that when they submitting those financial statements by the 1st of May 2018, those statements were not complete and accurate. So they, after our audit, they had to go back and adjust those financials. On the next slide, slide 6, that one, we're giving an indication in terms of the involvement of leadership, the financial and performance management, and the government. Basically, we'd like to see a picture where for all entities, everything is great. So you notice that for DMR, we have an arrow going down in terms of leadership. It's basically because of the qualification that we currently have, and also for financial and performance management. So those arrows, the red arrows, basically address the issues of qualifications we have identified. But you also notice that for governance, there is a green picture there, which shows that in terms of internal audit and the audit committees, there were no issues that were identified. For SADMR, it's a good picture, but you see on the column of financial and performance, there's a yellow arrow there. It basically says that even though they didn't obtain a qualification, there were a few issues that they identified, but they were not significant. And then for MinTech as well, you'll notice that on the red column, there's a red arrow, which means that even though they obtained and qualified, there were minor issues that were identified during the audit, which they need to resolve, and those issues are included in their management report. And then for mine health, you'll notice that the picture is not looking good as well. If you look at their audit report, you'll notice that there are issues that have been identified which the entity needs to resolve. On the next slide, slide number 7, further analysis on mineral resources key controls certified as protein concern. When we look at leadership, you notice that for green represents good in terms of leadership, and then yellow in progress, and the red is intervention required. So when we look at the picture, we can see that the green represents a major portion of that picture, which means they need a few interventions so that they can get to the clean view. And then for paragraph 3, slide 8, further analysis on DMR. Here we're dealing with financial and performance management. And then we can notice that the red one, the intervention required, is a bit bigger than the rest. So it's also relating to the qualifications for DMR. So a lot of work needs to be done there so that we can move this so that the majority of the picture is green. But it's mainly related to the qualification. Like I've indicated with the next slide number 9, with the governance, internal audit, the audit committee for DMR, there were no issues that have been identified. That's why we have the whole picture as raised. Paragraph 5, slide 10, is basically progress on prior commitments. We basically listing the commitments which were made by the department and an indication of the current status and our comment in terms of where the department is. The one that I would like to raise is mainly the feeling of vacant position, and we are commenting that CFO position has been filled. However, there are some positions that are still vacant that still need to be filled. We can move now to the next slide. Slide 11, key focus areas. On that slide, it gives us a picture on the issues relating to supply chain management, predetermined objectives, human resource management, IT controls, and material errors in submitted annual financial statements. On DMR, we have indicated the first one under supply chain, we have indicated that there are some improvements. All that we are saying is even though there are no issues in the audit report, but there were minor issues that we have identified and we have discussed with management. On predetermined objectives, or maybe let me just deal with supply chain management for all the entities. I'll cover DMR, and then SABTMR, SVT, and MinTech, we have indicated that there are no matters relating to supply chain. And then mine health safety and CGS, no improvement, which means there are issues which have been identified. And if you look at the document that we've distributed, those issues have been highlighted there. And then if I move to predetermined objectives, it's only mine health safety that had issues, so the rest they were no matters. And human resource management, you'll notice that it's only DMR where there were issues with HR management. IT controls, all of them is some improvement, which means they are not yet there. There are issues that need to be sorted relating to IT controls, and those are listed in detail in the briefing document. For material errors in the submitted annual financial statement, it's DMR and CGS. What we're saying there is, like I've indicated, the financial submitted contained errors, which were somewhere subsequently corrected.
Thank you. Chair, I think we're just going to stop here for a while and just go through this graphic in a little bit more detail. This is one of those that I think deserves a bit of attention, because what this graphic demonstrates is this is one of those portfolios that are very close to clean audits. Okay, so it's a graphic showing that with a little bit of effort from the entities, it will probably be the first portfolio that can obtain clean audits across all portfolios, not just a entity. So if you look at this graphic here, you'll see that there is majority green, okay, with just the yellow overshadowing on the IT controls, which is in progress. IT controls not been a significant major issue that's preventing the clean audit. So if you look at the rest of the issues around here, you've got basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 blocks that is preventing the portfolio as a whole to get into clean audit. And I think this is one of those areas where I'm going to ask for, share with your commission, I'm going to ask for the commitment from the portfolio committee to actually put some pressure on this portfolio to get to that clean audit status, because I think it's achievable in the next financial cycle. And as I said, one of those portfolios are very close. We don't see any serious significant issues that is delaying this process. I think it's just that push that management needs to take to get to the there is the about two significant areas. One is the AOPO that's sitting in an adverse And the other one is obviously the qualification of the DMR that DG has committed itself already to resolve in the next financial year. So if those two major issues are out of the way, then the rest of them are just internal controls that can be dealt with very quick. And again, as I said, I urge the portfolio committee and leadership of Chairperson to try to get the portfolio to that place. I think it's going to be an accolade for this portfolio they can get to the next financial year. As I said, it will be the first portfolio to actually get there. Thank you, Chair.
You just say what size stigmas used to eat them.
We'll move now to slide 5, paragraph 7, other matters of interest. On that slide, we basically summarizing the amounts relating to irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And normally, if there is an authorized within the portfolio, we'll also include that. So for this portfolio, most specifically for DMR, there will no unauthorized expenditure. When we look at DMR, for irregular expenditure, 2011-2012, it was 21 million, and then 2012-2013, it was 24 million. What I need to elaborate on that is to say it's a cumulative figure. It's basically accumulating from year to year until that date when the department has investigated the irregular expenditure and condoned it where possible. So it's a cumulative figure. And then when we look at SID PMR, SDT, MITED, there were no irregular expenditure. Mine Health, there was 6.9 million in 2011-2012 and 9.6 million in 2012-2013. It's also a cumulative figure. And then CGS, it shows that it has dropped as there's nothing for 2012-2013.
Yeah, I think again, on this one, it is a commentary. Okay, and the commentary behind here is, again, this is reflective. Although irregular fruits and wasteful, we should be at zero. There should be no excuses behind it because obviously it's a legislative framework. But if you look at the portfolio as a whole, if you look at this table, it's commendable if you look at the entities within the portfolio. There is no fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That's an accolade on it. So there is no fruitless and wasteful. So there is no reporting of any expenditure that is wasteful. The irregular expenditure is something, again, we believe that within the next financial year can come up to zero. But again, it demonstrates how close this portfolio is getting to clean audit. And all these together, read together, all these sides read together, that paints this picture that this portfolio just needs a push to get to clean audit status. Remember, this is maybe one of the few portfolios that can actually live up to the 2014 clean audit push. And I think that would be an accolade for the portfolio committee and the portfolio itself if we can get there. And I think it's something that we're going to encourage Minister also to work towards. Everybody work towards that with us also. We also committed to it. I think it's something that we can actually meet the 2014 clean audit drive. Thank you, Chair.
On the next slide, slide number 13, paragraph 8, pyramid of accountability. That slide is basically self-explanatory because all that is said is that everybody has a role to play in terms of as the department getting to a clean audit program. It starts with the oversight or public accountability, which is this committee, including the COOPA and executive. So all of us, we have a role to play in making sure that we achieve the clean audit. The reporting and governance assurance, basically, it's us external auditors, internal audit, we have audit committee and accountable leadership. And then administration, it's basically a process that we require the skills, competences, ethics, and integrity. We need to have a daily, weekly, and monthly financial and performance discipline that will ensure that when we submit those financials, they are complete and accurate. We need embedded systems of internal controls underpinned by policies and procedures, which means we need to make sure that those policies and procedures are updated regularly and that they are also approved at appropriate levels. Monthly reporting on financial and performance, interim financial statements,
It's basically it encourages the entities to make sure that by end of September, after 6 months, they can basically prepare the interim financial statements, which can then be also audited by external auditors, so that if there are issues, then those issues can be resolved on time. And then the next one is understanding of requirements as well as cost and effect.
Chair, if I may, this is probably one of the most important slides for Oversight. Okay. Chair, this slide here is actually setting the platform of how we're going to get to clean audits, what is required to get to clean audits. So if we look at this, and through discussions you will see that if we look at this here and we look at the base of this pyramid, these are actually the disciplines that need to be in place. These are internal control environment that needs to be there for all the entities within the portfolio, for the broader government also. If these disciplines are in place, what we are saying is you should have an internal control environment that is very strong. Now, the check of whether these are in place is going to be the next level. That is where we're saying we need to relook at the role of the audit committee, okay? Not relook at the role, but relook at whether they are actually delivering on what they are expected to deliver. Internal audit and your accountable leadership. So we're saying, well, where do we get the assurance that the bottom base, the bottom of this pyramid, is actually done and it's actually in place? It's the middle of this pyramid that should be giving that assurance to the top of the pyramid. So you as a portfolio committee should be getting assurance from the audit committee, internal audit and accountable leadership, that all these things at the bottom are in place. And this is some place where I might want to discuss further in deliberations to say, how do we get to that? And that will then, from where we sit, it will drive, from our perspective, we will first drive the clean audits, but obviously it's going to drive service delivery, it's going to drive the right behavior, it's going to drive the right culture, etc. But the focus has to be on that end. That's where it starts. That starts with the local leadership of each entity. A commitment to that, to yourselves, and then the test of that through the audit committee, the internal audit, and the accountable leadership to say, well, those things are in place. And that may be the monitoring mechanism that you'll be looking for going forward. So for me, this is one of the most important slides. And the detail, obviously, will be in the other document. This is the slide that has that base of the structure and that is needed to actually get to that stage. Okay, thanks.
And the last slide, slide number 14, is basically supplementing the pyramid that we already discussed. It also deals with the assurance required. The first part, which says the fundamental foundation, it also deals with the skills competencies which I've already discussed. And then the next part is management assurance. With management assurance, we have assurance from senior management, from accounting officer or accounting authority, from executive authority, and MECs and SQ. And then the next one is oversight and legislative risk and legal assurance, is the audit committee, the monitoring and regulatory institutions, which is national and provincial treasury. We have oversight authority, which is portfolio committee and SCOPA. And then audit assurance, which is coming from internal audit and external audit. And then the bottom part indicates the required level of assurance, required assurance level by management, which is very high. And then the one from oversight and legislative risk, it's high. And the one from audit assurance is very high as well. You see, we have blocks of red color. In that one, basically what we're saying is it was supposed to be yellow, which means it's a limited level of assurance currently for the portfolio. And we basically picked a mistake on that one, and we will subsequently forward the right slide, which shows that the actual assurance level for the portfolio is a limited one, the yellow one, so we'll revise that one. But basically, that's where we are in terms of the level of assurances required. Thank you.
Chair, just before we close on this slide, I think it's important here just to note, because Irene asked this question previously also by various committees when they look at this slide, because everybody wants to have the green. They want to say that subsidy meets the required levels of assurance. Whether it is management, whether it is oversight, whether it is your management assurance, or even as a fundamental condition. But what we're saying is we have to be reflective of the audit outcomes. We have to be honest with the outcomes. If we want to see the clean portfolios coming through, we have to be honest in this assessment. And what we are saying is if the portfolio is not clean, then surely we cannot have green. There is work to be done. We have, and only when we can reflect on that, that there has to be work to be done, then can we start getting that work done. If we say it's green, it means fine. Then nobody needs to do anything, and we don't think that is the situation. And that will not drive the right behavior if we do get to that point where we take this now. Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, that is our presentation. There is a detailed, thank you, Margaret. There is a detailed document which gives the briefing, which gives the detail of those findings. And we can go through it, Chair, if you so require, if the committee is comfortable. It is there for reference, and you can go through it in your deliberations. If you want us to take you through it, we can take you through it, but it's basically the detail that will be contained in the audit report. I just want to highlight one point from this document, and that is on page seven. I'll just highlight on page seven. In this portfolio, only one report has been qualified. Okay. It's an except for opinion on the department. So I just want to highlight that as 2.3, it's a DMR basis for qualification. I'll take you through the qualification. The Department of Mineral Resources does not have adequate systems to manage and value receivable for departmental revenue. The outstanding balance relating to prospecting fees and royalties that are generated by the system in place is incorrect. Consequently, the balance for receivable for departmental revenue and provisions, as disclosed in Note 23 and 27 to the financial statement, is misstated by 151 million and 2,110 million. So that is the only report in this portfolio that has been qualified, and the qualification is there. Then if you look at, for example, predetermined objectives, just to give you the example of it, so you look at predetermined objectives, you will see the entity's name, the findings, and the root causes and the recommendations. So remember in the slide we took you all through, especially you think that they were finding, this is the detail. If so required, Chair, through your Chair, we can go through that, but the detail there is for the deliberation if you want the content of the detail of these. Thank you, Chair. That concludes our presentation.
Can we use a slightly different approach just precisely on the point that you just mentioned of the qualified report from DMR and allow DG for you to participate there to discuss this page, the issue of the qualification, just to hear your side of the story and then allow members then to engage us on it.
Okay. Okay, thank you, honorable members. We have noted the report of the Auditor General, and we did look at the matter. We put in place an action plan, a detailed action plan, to address this issue. This detailed action plan was even presented to an audit committee of the department, which have looked at it, and they then even furthermore recommended that internal audit must audit it to ensure that the controls with regards to this issue are tightened. This is what I say about the matter. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Can I open the floor for engagement? Honorable Schmidt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I seem to recall years where the DMR had unqualified audit reports. So the comparison to last year is a good one, but it's not a complete one. So it seems to be have regressed. I look at it from that perspective. Maybe that's an impression I got. That I haven't researched you to see whether I'm in fact correct, but I do recall it being one of the departments that had unqualified reports in the past. Maybe that's a factual incorrect statement just for me. But the second issue is, and thank you for making this, drawing our attention to page 7. I'm concerned that the basis for the qualification relates to the core activity of one of the core activities of the department. It has to do with the application of prospecting licenses, prospecting fees and royalties generated by in the system. Royalties is a serious income revenue, and it is misstated by 151 million rand. So that means either it's misstated in positive or misstated in negative. If it's misstated in negative, then one wonders what the consequence thereof is. If you're saying it's misstated in the positive, then what the consequence of that is. But could I just ask what the real factual consequence is of that misstatement? Because I think that we need to understand before we come to some conclusion one way or another. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Chairperson, and noting some comments expressed by the AG that there are areas of progress and there are areas that just need consistent leadership for the department to improve. The first question is, I just want to understand the interface between the Office of the Auditor General and the department, particularly the DG and the Minister. How regular is this interface over the financial year? Because that's a critical issue. And the second one is on two entities, Mine Health Safety Council and the Council for Geosciences. What could be the capacity constraints in these entities to the extent that this state of affairs is reported here? Thanks.
Thanks, Madam Chair. There is an overlap with my colleague here about the qualification. You give two figures there, the overstatement or misstatement by 151 million, and then you note that the figure was 110 million in 2012. Is that a cumulative figure? And in either event, do you comment on whether or not there have been steps to recover or correct that figure from 2011-12? And then also, I mean, you said that the department does not have an adequate system to manage and value receivables. 2-3 years ago, was there an adequate system? I mean, is this a breakdown of system, or how come this has suddenly come up?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the presenters. The first question to the Auditor General Office: what do you think it is the main problem for this department to have a clean audit? For instance, you have identified the financial and performance management. You are interacting with them in the terms that you've interacted with them. Obviously, you find problems and you know the solutions to all those problems. So what can you say are the problems, and how do you see yourself together solving the problem? And adding on what Mr. Mahai has said earlier, You know better because you are external auditors. You get this problem, and all of us, as MPs, like you said, you all have a different role to play to make sure that at the end of the day there's a clean audit, there's service delivery, and all that. But what do you do to make sure that you push yourself as the auditor, general's office? You push the department towards having a clean audit, to be not from a department having an unqualified intern adverse report and all that. I'm trying to check what is your main role. When you find problems, what is it then that you do to make sure that the mistakes are actually rectified? Thanks, Chair.
Can we get responses to those before we continue?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Member, thank you for those questions. I will try my best to answer them to the best of my ability, and I think maybe the department will also assist in some of them where necessary. I think the first one on DMR being unqualified previously. It's true, DMR has been unqualified previously. The problem on the revenue has been there historically. Okay, it's a matter of the issue being material or not material for the purposes of qualification. So if you look at the previous reports, you'll see that there has always been a control weakness around revenue. Okay. The department has been trying to resolve this issue in various ways. I'm sure the department will talk much more about that in their presentation, okay, because we've had lengthy discussion presentations, etc. From DG. DG seems to have a plan of trade, which involves the revenue service, which involves the systems that they're working on currently and funding for the system, etc., etc. But yes, it has been unqualified previously, and this has been a recurring problem, and it's been a question of whether the issue has been material or not to justify a qualification. Remember, on the qualified report, it's qualified when the issue is actually material. Okay. The core activity of the department in royalties, the misstatement, the consequences of the misstatement. The collection of revenue is one of the responsibilities of the department. It is a concern to us. We have worked closely with the department on this area over the last 2 years. There's been a lot of commitments and there's been a lot of change in the leadership. And we also talk about that the stability of leadership in the department needs to be sought. You'll see one of the key things that we've, Victor and Margaret has discussed was the issue around the vacancies. And specifically the issue of billing of the chief financial officer, who, in my opinion, becomes tasked with these type of things or trying to get those systems in place, etc., for the financial reporting that becomes important. Now, if you're not going to have a person in that position that is constant, then you're going to have these problems because it takes a long time to sort these type of issues out. It's not something that just happens overnight. Okay? So the breakdown though in that leadership then becomes a hobby. And the consequences of that misstatement, if you look at what we are saying we could not effectively be comfortable with the amount that is disclosed in the financials. Now, the amount you've seen is a full financial amount. Okay, it is not, that's not the misstatement. Margaret, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. That is not the misstatement itself. The 150 million refers to the full amount that is disclosed in the financial statements for revenue collection. Is that misstatement? Is that a projected misstatement? Okay. So if we look at those amounts from our testing, now remember we picked a sample, we tested the sample, and these are the errors, and we projected across the population. Okay. So these are the errors that we have projected across the population. The consequences of that is the qualification. And so it's effectively saying that when we review the financial statements, this is now above the materiality level, and hence we qualify. If we look at the second question on the interface between the AGSA and DMR, and I think the question went further to the minister, interaction with the minister and DG. I think the DG will speak further on the interactions with the minister himself. I know that they have a number of interactions we are part of also. Okay. But with the interface between AGSA and DMR, we have a lot of interactions. We have a lot of interactions where we discuss these issues at length. And there have been a lot of other areas that DG has focused on, okay, and has taken up a lot of his time. One is, for example, the NECA liability, which has been a constant issue over a number of years that DG managed to eventually resolve. So there is a lot of work that DG has put in, but at the same time, my belief that he has to have the right support. And if you look into the comments, if you look at the slides and you look at the commitments, the last commitment where we actually say that there had to be the support that DG has to get. He has to get the support from the people that he leads. And he has to relook at those structures as to whether those structures are effective in what he needs to deliver. And that's a commitment we've got from them that they will look into. So these are the type of things that we discuss. It's not just discussing the issue, but discussing the solution to that issue. The solution is not merely this is straight line. You have to look at what is it, because why is this thing recurring all the time? And we have to start holding those commitments. And those commitments become important to us now. The entity's capacity in the two non-clean audits, or in the two entities that have had issues. Margaret, I don't know if you want to elaborate on those, the capacity itself of those entities. I think they were referring to the two entities that, CGS and Mine Health and Safety. Again, I don't think it's a matter of capacity when it comes to these entities. If we look at the issues, it's irregular, produce wastewater expenditure, procurement management, and internal audit. I don't think it's a capacity issue. I think it's again where we're saying they have got an unqualified opinion. Yeah. They have to work on the adverse opinion on the predetermined objectives. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there. But again, I think it's about tightening those rules. It's about saying, okay, entity, you need to come and account and you need to keep on providing us with updates as to the progress, where you are and how you're getting there, your action plan, etc. And I think it's just a matter of, if it was in a qualified or adverse or a disclaimer opinion, then I would be worried about the capacity. But the fact that they are unqualified, the auto opinion is unqualified. Okay, so they had the capacity to get an unqualified opinion. It's just a matter, as I said, it's about tweaking it, turning those screws to say, well, you've got issues that are, like, for example, irregular expenditure, which means somebody has not followed a proper process. It means we need to stop doing that. We haven't documented why you did that. Now, those, for me, is not a capacity problem. That is just simple discipline that have not been followed. You need to tie down on those. If we look at Council for Geoscience, where we say, again, they both, if you look at it, it's both unqualified opinions on AOPO and on financial statements. Again, the procurement and contract management. Now, procurement and contract management, and if you look at the detail contained in the detailed document, again, it's about internal controls. It's about doing your daily disciplines. Do what you're supposed to do every day properly. It's not about going and getting more people to assist you or getting extensive training. Well, there might be a few training initiatives that might be necessary, but do your daily disciplines. And this is what the biggest problem we pick up, not only in this portfolio, but many portfolios, is the daily disciplines that are not followed. Okay. We always use that example. I remember Honorable Minister Lamini Zuma, when she was part of former affairs, she was part of my audits, she used the example of a banking environment. And she said it's about having those daily disciplines. You open the bank, before you close the bank, you make sure that all your reconciliations for the day is done. You make sure that your cash takings agrees to your receipts. It's about having a closure at the end of the day. If those daily disciplines are in place, then you don't have these issues. It's just having those daily disciplines. And if you look at the pyramid that we described, and I spoke about the base of that pyramid, it's contained in there for those internal controls that are lacking in these areas. Okay. And then a very important one here is the material adjustments to the financial statements and asset management. I think at this point we need to remember where we have, and I think the department is also part of this, where we have material adjustments for financial statements means that your financial information for the financial year upon which decision making is based could be flawed. Okay. So it's something that we're saying, it's again not about capacity, it's about having daily disciplines in place. It's about having your reconciliations in place. It's about having your proper closures on a daily basis. It's about having monthly financial reporting. It's about having an interim set of financial statements that facilitates reporting. It's about having your internal audit and your audit committee effective. So your internal audit reviewing the information that is produced. Your monthly financial statements and monthly financial information being reviewed by your internal audit structure. Now remember, we said the governance structures are there. They're in place. get all the government structures are in place, but the matter of just getting them to tighten those screws, again, it's about that last step of tightening everything, tightening the internal controls, making everything, making sure every internal control is in place and is working correctly. Okay, the next one is on the cumulative figure, steps to correct or recover. As I said, this is projected error based on our sample from what we picked up. The error itself, from what we've seen, is something that the department can solve. Okay. Largely, it's about the incorrect input of information from the files into the system. Okay. It's about the incorrect information being recorded on the system, wrong amount being raised. So it's about going back to the files and ensuring the correct information is on those files and then raising the correct amount. It's as simple as that. Okay. The DG has given a lot of commitments around that to tie those down, to relook at the system and make sure that the system facilitates. So I think the department will be in a better place to answer whether after they do that exercise, whether there's any amount should be recovered. Remember, ours is a projected error. Okay. So we are saying we picked a sample, these are the errors we found, and that's a projection to the population. Whether the system is adequate, and if not, why not? From what we picked up, the system itself, I wouldn't want to say is adequate or inadequate, but I think there is a lot of areas in the system that needs to be tightened. For example, there should be exception reports. There should be exception reports that the department should be able to do on a quarterly basis, monthly basis, to have a look at which figures are out, why it is out, and raise those alarms so that they can review those. On the next one is the main, okay, there was a question around the main problem for the department to clean audits. I think it's twofold. The first one talks to the revenue in the system. Okay. It's interesting to note that take away the qualification of the department itself, and if we look at that, the other issues can be resolved very quickly. Okay. It can be resolved very quickly. So I think the main problem that's a hindrance to the department to clean audits is again the disciplines. It's about the individuals, the clerk out there who needs to capture information from the file to the system, doing it right. It's about review. So about somebody reviewing the work that the clerk has done to make sure that it's correct. I don't think DG can do that in all nine provinces himself. He needs to have that support from his staff. He needs to have that commitment. So it's also the creation of the culture. It's having the right culture and the right dedication from staff. And I think that is something the leadership can focus on. The interactions and what are the problems together, solving the problem. Yes, this is, we interact, we've taken this a long way now. We have quarterly interactions with the minister's office also, raising the issues to leadership. We have interactions with the portfolio committees, raising the alarms. We have regular interactions with the department itself. And then we have, just as you have seen in this document where we talk about the commitments and the follow-up of those commitments, this is how we do with the department. Okay, we monitor their commitments and see how well they are doing. And we give feedback to the executive on those commitments and where they are. So although there is a lot of work that needs to be done, there will always be a lot of work to be done around relationships. We believe that the relationship with ourselves, the department, is going in the right direction. It's just that these are issues that we just need to push a little harder to be resolved. We see ourselves as a key role player in this area, okay? And a key role player in this area because maybe, not to sound arrogant, but maybe we do have some of the expertise that can assist the department in these areas, to better understand it at least, okay? Not necessarily to correct it, because obviously there's an issue of independence, but to better understand it so that we can assist the department to get into the right answer. So that we will always be available to do. The steering committee meetings that is held more on a weekly to weekly basis with the department, where we try to get to these issues, try to give proper recommendations. So if you look at the detailed document, you will see in the detailed document that we also give a lot of recommendations. Those recommendations talk to what we believe could be the potential solution to a lot of the problems that the department faces. So a lot of the questions that are asked is contained
in that detail. And you will pick it up from there when you have deliberate on it. Chair, I hope I have answered the questions. Thank you.
The one question I think I want to ask is from slide 5. Normally, when you get the reports, wouldn't there be an opportunity for the department to communicate with Treasury, for example, just to find out from Treasury if there's any exemption that can be made to some of these issues? And what I would also like to know, most probably from the department then, is there any way that you communicate with each other as entities to ensure that you pick up what is good from one entity to the other? For example, I know we've had a situation where we'll have InTech with geosciences coming to make a presentation to us, and we would actually be requesting MinTech to please give the tips or the relevant ideas that would help them improve, that would help, in particular, geosciences, for example, improve their situation, rather than going the route of perhaps saying, no, we're going to go and fetch a consultant. There does appear to be very little communication amongst the entities, but there are situations where the one can complement the other in trying to improve your work situation. Honorable Ngele, Honorable Schmidt.
Yeah, Chairperson, to add to your question, in fact, to be a little more specific about it. Mine health and safety. Is there anything that I'm specifying that one, that the department can do to help them? Any reaction, is there anything that you can do? Because according to page 11, really the results are not too good for mine health and safety. So I put it through to you, DG, if there is anything that can be done. And secondly, repeatedly, you keep on saying it's not about capacity, it's not about training. Yeah, I partly agree with you, but can anything happen without capacity? You can't do anything alone. You need people, and you need trained people. You can push, but pushing things to people who are not trained for that particular job, I think it becomes very difficult. So, in a way, I disagree with you. Thank you.
Honourable Schmidt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm clearly not a financial guru, but my question wasn't phrased correctly to the Auditor General's office. The misstatement by 151 million, my concern is that if it's a misstatement which may reflect a shortfall, or does it reflect a misstatement in terms of over-recovery? Because that's important. What is the real, I'm going to use the word consequence again, but is it a lack of funds? And if so, it's a major problem. I'm not saying it is, I'm asking, if it is a lack of funds, then it's a major problem. And that's basically my question there. And if it is a lack of funds, how does the department then rectify? Because that is a major, major issue.
Honorable Mwepeng.
No, Honorable Chair, there are some few issues. One is, the premise from which I want to move is that for the first time in 5 years, and it happens at a time when the time is nearing when some of us won't be back. At least the Auditor General can, with confidence, say the department is moving in the right direction, which is something that all of us should applaud. We should be happy that one of the departments is doing well. Two, Honorable Chair, is that we should also be happy that the leadership that we talk about, that we continuously say is needed in departments, at least is shown to be there somewhere. we however acknowledge, which is what the department should also look on, that there are weaknesses somewhere, somehow. There's no perfect world in as far as I'm concerned. But the challenges that we have, we should continuously work on, I don't want to say perfectly, but for lack of a better word, let's use that for now. But Honorable Chair, the manner in which the report of the Auditor General is crafted, when on the financial statement, it is such that there is no way that this department cannot get a clean audit. There is no way that it cannot achieve the objectives of 2014 clean audit. There is no way. It is just that I fail to understand, Honorable Chair, how to, if the Office of the Auditor General on a quarterly basis it is meeting with the department, why is it only now that you identify that there's no predetermined objectives in the department? Is it because, you know, put in simple terms, Honorable Chair, predetermined objectives is saying as a department, this is what we are going to do. Right? You are setting objectives for yourself to say that we want to achieve 1, 2, 3. And in the course of things, whatever you do, it is in line when the Office of the Auditor General comes. It will definitely say, these are your predetermined objectives. You set yourself to achieve 1, 2, 3. Now, effectively, it's if you get an address on predetermined objectives, it says that there is something that you have been doing, but you did not predetermine. I think we will need to be, why do we get it now? When you meet on a quarterly basis, do you not say to the department, Office of the AG, don't you say to the department, look, there is 1, 2, 3 that you are running, you are lacking something. And it is not even a qualification, it's an advert. It's far worse than a qualification that you would say the department is getting. Now, if that can be verified, because what I'm saying, if we are in continuous deliberations with the department, we must be able to identify weaknesses. Right? Didn't we see that when we started? Now, if the Office of the AG can assist us on that one, I wanted Honorable Chair to say to the Office of the AG, if there is misstatement in the department on the AFS, misstatement on the AFS, clearly we should be able to say, what does misstatement mean? Because, you know, in the standing committee of SCOPA, you would expect members of SCOPA to know what is misstatement, right? But now you are speaking with members of the portfolio committee who would want to know what misstatement is. If you speak about misstatement, what is it that we are talking about? I'm sure that is why one honorable member is saying, what is a direct implication of this misstatement? If you can just clarify what is this misstatement and so forth, so that we are all on par with understanding this conception. Right? Because to me it's, well, without, before expressing a view, I am saying it is not an elephant that cannot be killed. It's not an element that cannot be killed. It's an issue that can be handled. You see? But perhaps when it comes from the AG, it will be better understood. And I am saying, Honorable Chair, all said and done, the department is on the right track. We have looked at the report of the AG, the suggestions that have been put in place, the recommendations that are there. If the department follows all those recommendations, I am telling you, this meeting was to end now and say, let's go back to work. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
I have such a lot more questions, but let's take that round first, and then we'll see.
Thank
because
you,
there's still the issue of, I'm interested in knowing how you handle the reports on issues of compliance. I think it's for Section 28. How do you handle those reports when it comes to the reports that have to be submitted to DMR? And those reports are going to be submitted to DMR, they actually have to be compliant, and they must give in financial statements, I think, as part of their reporting to ensure that there's proper control. I'm not hearing much of whether these reports are still being submitted into DMR, and if so, to what extent, if you compare it to the total number of mines that they're talking of 1,600, because then once again, it'll come up to the issue of capacity, which will make us wonder if in terms of capacity, the effective work that's been done. Then the other issue is, it's not the best time that you're going through the issue of vacancies in DMR. I'm starting to worry and wonder if those vacancies, when they do get filled, are they filled on time or are they unnecessarily extended? Because I think it's been a qualm that if there's no capacity in DMR, then why would they delay in filling positions? Now, we want to discuss the issue as well of DMR having a problem of retaining employees. But I don't quite remember if we ended up having a detailed strategy or a plan from DMR that indicates as to what measures are they putting into place to ensure then that there's retainment of staff. But the CFO issue, I'm a bit worried about. Yes, we have a CFO now. Yes, it's a woman, a black woman. Congratulations, Miss. But if you remember, the previous active CFO acted for quite some time. And it makes me wonder what they have made her go over to. I think she's with a regulator now, isn't it? I've just forgotten the lady's name. She was active for a long time in DMR. And I know you'd even use her as a buffer to sort of calm us down when you come here for questioning. And when she left, what amazes me is that she left from one government department to another government department. So which asks yourself now, where now does the issue come in where you normally complain that the private entities are taking these people? Something must have, because she was also just as good. Something must have gone wrong in terms of her leaving the department. I don't know what. Maybe the money is better anyway, so that could be the excuse. But if it's from one government entity to another government entity, what are we doing wrong? That's part of the plan that I want to hear, that there's an effort then being made, because in this time, the comparison is government to government. So you can't tell me that there's such a difference in the way we pay salaries in government these days, in public service. Okay. Can, if it's possible, engage with DMR with that one. Okay, can you respond to the rest of us?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think I'm actually going to start with the questions that you have asked. We will respond, and then I'm sure the department will respond to you when you get the opportunity. But I think the compliance of Section 28, that is one of our findings on non-compliance, and I'll just, if I take you to the detailed document in front of you, page 5, you will see at the bottom of the document that we actually report on the non-compliance of the Enabling Act. The mining rights holders do not submit progress reports to the DG as required by Section 28.2A of the Mineral and Petroleum Development Act. Mining mining rights holders did not submit audited financial statements and annual reports to the DG as required by the day of the MPRDA. Compliance with the above sections that was not enforced as required by section 93. So it is reported. It is, I think, an area that you can then explore further. With regard to the vacancies, if you look at the paragraph above that one, okay, also on page 5, you will see that we say human resource management employees received overtime compensation in excess of 30% of monthly salaries in contravention of the public service regulation, RED 2D. So obviously that's an indication that there is a capacity problem, okay, in the department. There is a capacity problem in terms of the filling of the vacancies and the timely filling of the vacancies, and it's something that I think needs improvement around. So those are the two questions, just from our side, from the auditor side, what we've picked up in terms of what you've asked, Chair. Coming back to the questions from the committee, honourable members, I think the first question was raised on the communication with Treasury and the communication to the entities. By the Chair, I agree with that. I think it's an area that where there is a huge scope for sharing of knowledge, sharing of skills, sharing of resources, sharing of information. If three entities in your portfolio can get it right, surely you should be learning from that. And I think that is something that the department can focus on, one in facilitating but also to ensuring. So I think that's 100%. And also the part with Treasury, I think that the communication with Treasury, the department can improve, and also the entities can improve so there's a better understanding of the requirements of Treasury. And also how Treasury can assist them, especially where there's issues where they cannot comply with certain part of it. Mine Health and Safety Council, what can the department do to help them? I think that's something the department can respond to, and they can give further insights into. The capacity can say, ma'am, I think we're just missing each other on this one here. Yeah. I think what we are saying is, not for the portfolio, just specifically for Mine Health and Safety, we did not see capacity as a problem. Yes, training definitely. I mean, in any entity, it's all, we also go through CPD, continuous professional development, continuous training. There will always be that need. We've encouraged the entities, any entity that has any finding, even a clean entity, for sustainability purposes, you want to make sure that your staff are continuously developed. You want to make sure that you have proper training programs in place to make sure that your staff keep up with all the changes in the legislation, the legislative frameworks, the compliance guidelines, etc. And it's a lot of training, it's a lot of investment in this. But if we look at the entities that are generally clean, they do this well. Yeah, they manage to do this very well. So definitely there's always a need for training. The capacity, when we talk about capacity, we're talking about capacity to the establishment, to the reported establishment. Whether the reported establishment is adequate in providing the outcome that they desire, that is left for the leadership to determine. When we look at vacancies, we take it to the establishment. So we don't take it beyond there. Because we take it that that's a strategic imperative of the executive and the accounting authority of that entity to establish structure. So whether the structure is adequate or not, I cannot conclude. I can only say whether they have for the positions, timely, etc., to that structure. Beyond that, I cannot conclude. So when we talk about capacity, I'm not talking in the broad term of capacity of whether the entity has sufficient capacity to deliver on the mandate. I'm talking about whether the entity has sufficient capacity in terms of the structure that they have provided to us. They only order to what has been approved by the executive, etc. Otherwise, that will be a separate audit in terms of a performance audit, etc. Okay. So, sorry, ma'am, but I think we're dismissing each other. Okay. On the next one of the 151 million shortfall, and thank you for the question, I think it comes from two honorable members. Let me try to just break that down of what we are saying. Here we are saying there's been, from our findings, and I'll give you the process so that we understand each other better. We take it from the file. Okay, so from the file, the actual file itself for that, right? We take it from there and we do the calculations. So some are over and some are under. Okay. So it's not all in one direction. Some are over, some are under. The net effect is 151 million projected under recovery. Okay. So it's not that I can say every file is under recovery or every file is over recovery, but the projected, and remember that the projected error. It's not an actual error, it's a projected error. So the actual is only on the sample that I pick. the projected error is we then say, well, if we pick that T out of 500, then we would expect this error out of the 500. But that is where the department has to do that investigation. When they are correcting, they have to then go back and correct the whole population. When they correct the whole population, they will be able to determine exactly what the error is. I'm just taking my sample. In terms of my sampling methodology, it allows me to project, and I'm projecting that to the population and reporting that as a projected error. At this point, it's a predicted error of an under-recovery. Okay. I hope that gives clarity. Next question was on the predetermined objectives of the department. Honorable member, I think here we're talking about Mine Health and Safety Council. The department's AOP was fine. Okay. It was actually on Mine Health and Safety, which was sitting at... And if I go to that one, sorry, this one. If I can refer you to the detail on page 7, okay, of the detail, it actually breaks down what the problem was. And if you look at my health and safety council, through the chair, everybody's on the page 7. If we look at the Mine Health and Safety 3.1, paragraph 3.1, we say information presented with respect to the objectives mentioned below was not reliable when compared to the source information and to the evidence provided. Okay. So that's a detailed finding. Do we pick it up, the detailed document? Okay. Page 7. So if we look at that detail, on a quarterly basis, yes, we do highlight it. We highlight what is presented to us. Okay, but when we get into these interactions, and it's something that we are focusing on in our discussions with the department, with the entities, is please try to have information available for us on a regular basis. During the year, when we have these quarterly interactions, we are pushing the entities, and you'll be aware of this, I mean, it's been the discussion by even the AG now, the push for the need for interim audits. The problem is a lot of the entities are not ready. So when we tell them, can we please review your performance information early? Say, no, but we're still busy with it. And what happens as a result is when we do review, it's too late. And then it actually ends up. So what we've done is we've had a proactive approach from the office for certain departments, where we've actually tried to engage and review the setting of the predetermined objectives a year before to actually see whether they meet the SMART principles. As part of our audit process, we're trying to become more proactive in getting this right. But it's also something that I would encourage of focus to the entities to tell, please try to do this on a more regular basis. There is no reason why you should be doing this at the end of the year. You should be reporting consistently. Okay. So this is the situation with this. It's a big problem, Honourable Member, and we're trying to address it with the entities as far as possible. We're pushing as hard as possible. We do get a lot of pushback to say, but we are not ready. You cannot do an interim audit because we are not ready. And obviously we should respect it, and I mentioned that space also. But we are trying to push them to say, no, at least by October we should be able to come and do an interim audit, highlight the concern areas, so that before year end you can do something about it. Most of us always reporting after the events.
I think there I just want to come in because very often we have our oversight, but oversight just ends with us receiving and then never getting to the solutions, and then we just dump the department to see to itself, so practically to say. And I think perhaps that could, another trend that could change, because in terms of the act and policies and the way we manage ourselves, the AG comes in after a year, after the process has taken place or the damage has been done. It should be up to the portfolio committee actually to say, then we should insist on receiving quarterly reports from the department. Just like we are able to say we are following particular processes when it comes to the BRRR, we are able then to also say we receive these quarterly reports, but we make sure that these quarterly reports that come to us must have actually been reviewed within the department by the DG. And the DG, as well as the internal auditors, your own internal auditors, must have gone through those reports and must be signed off officially so that whether we have a particular meeting of calling you in or not, we receive the report anyway. then it could perhaps minimize the issue of you saying that then things come in after the storm has taken place, because then all you're going to do is hit them with words, and they just simply go back, improve where they can improve, but there's no real oversight that's been done by ourselves. But that could be an area where we should also look at the methods or the systems that we use for oversight as to how effective are they, or how endorsing it is to ensure that they do work towards a clean audit. I think it will also minimize a lot of the work in terms of cost. Just for the members thinking.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, from outside, 100%. I think you really want to head. It will enhance the accountability and enhance also the reporting. Okay, with your permission, we'll go back to some of the questions that we asked. The misstatement on the AFS and the clarification, I hope that gives some clarification to it. It's actually the understatement, projected understatement of 131 million. But it's a combination of ups and downs, it's a combination of, well, some files being over and some files being under. And then, Chair, your question on Section 28, you've made reference to it, and the vacancies. Chair, thank you.
Any other issues? Oh, I think Umang wanted the department to respond as to what are your views or comments in relation to the Mine Health and Safety Council audit report or audit outcome. Yes,
thank you, honourable member. The issue of mine health and safety council, we have noted it, and the organisation has put in place a detailed action plan, and the issues were around the indicators and targets. Okay. They have since set together as an organisation and developed new indicators and targets. So this matter is actually solved. We will never have it next year again, definitely. But there was also the issue of capacity, which was raised earlier about it. We had the CEO resigning, and the new CEO has been appointed now in March 2018. So we strengthened the capacity there, and we are confident that things will improve there. In fact, it relates to the whole issue of capacity in the department, because the new CEO was working for the chief inspector of mines, was working for the department. So that creates this whole thing of saying, you know, we take people from the department to there, but they applied there, and then he got the job, he was the best candidate there. So that means now the department must fill his position, but he's a strong person, so we're confident that this issue will certainly be solved. I'm confident. In fact, the person who is responsible for mine health and safety is there. We've been talking about it. We have resolved it. It will not occur again.
Honorable Lorimer?
I'm going to go back to this because we might as well, while on the subject, try and dispose of it completely now. The non-collection in the prospective fees and royalties, it's not a new problem. Why hasn't it been fixed?
Right response. Okay. We are certainly working hard on the matter. As you said, that is not a new issue. We are certainly working on it. We, as the Auditor General, raised issue around capacity. We are strengthening capacity when it comes to that. The action plan which we put together, you know, when we discussed it with the Audit Committee, they were quite impressed. I think this time around we will solve it. In terms of short term, and also in terms of medium to long-term measures. The medium to long-term measures will involve integration of the systems of the department, and that is something which we are going to work on. But also, you must also remember that the mining industry has been growing in the country, certainly. It has been growing. The number of mines in the country have increased to below 1,000 or around 900 in a few years ago, and they have now gone to plus minus 1,600. So that means that we need to ensure that the capacity also is strengthened, and we are working hard on that. The minister is actually driving a process where we are going to reposition the the department to ensure that we strengthen that whole area, especially the issue of enforcement. It is very, very important. If we don't strengthen that, we will have this challenge. But I can assure you, the action plan which we have put in place, which focuses on our short term, focuses on this medium to long term, will resolve that. And if you look at the department as such, what is the big issue which we need to focus on of revenue in the department? From there, I can assure you that the clean audit will be achieved.
So, Madam Chair, are you confident then that we won't see this again next year?
I am confident that we're not going to see that. With the action plan which we have put in place, the management which we have put in place, especially in respect of the CFO who just started, she is working on this matter on a daily basis. In fact, last week there was even a workshop whereby we workshop this matter and say, let's find a solution, and we have found a solution in terms of one of the critical things. It can also increase capacity, educating the people, motivating the people. But I think we will crack. We can assure you that come next year this time, we will be talking a different language.
Question is, will you be here soon or here or not?
Looks like a petition of I'm fitting each other. Members of Syria, right? Anyway, I think we've exhausted the issues, but it's important that we put some recommendations out of what the AG has said. And taking note of the pie diagram in particular, I must say I am impressed. But it doesn't mean we're smiling with DMR as such to ensure that if you say it's possible for 100%, it's a matter of us communicating more and enforcing our own oversight, as I was making earlier on, that it must be effective oversight more than just oversight for the sake of oversight for an improved report. But we will put forth our recommendation before we end this afternoon, to say that some of the issues perhaps should be recorded as recommendations from the portfolio committee that give clear direction as to how best we assist them to ensure that they reach the required objectives of 100% clean audit. It's just a matter of putting some strategies into place, advising each other, and then possibly going forward. Thank you very much to the AG. Have a good rest of the day. Work well deserved. And done well. Can we break for tea? Sorry? They're going to copper. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's good signage. So you're also leaving us here now. You're going to copper. You can't. You're a permanent member of the committee. I don't know how you're going to deal with it, but you can't. Otherwise, I'll make sure he doesn't come back. Thank you very much. Can you take a 15-minute break?
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.